I'm gonna close out our time in looking at wolves in sheep's clothing, and this is our last couple of verses that we're going to do today. And the reason that I felt led to do this, and I appreciated the interpretation, because you know, we are in the last days, and there are deceivers, and there are liars, and there's false prophets and false teachers, and there's wolves in sheep's clothing. And when Jesus tells us this, and I think the impact of Matthew chapter 7 is that the one giving the warning is Jesus himself. He said, you need to watch out for false prophets, false teachers, people trying to pull you away from the things of the Lord. And I spent the last 2 weeks actually just kind of going over verses 14 and 15, and I'm going to read them, but we're not going to reiterate them. You can get it, you know, you can get a CD if you want one. I'll give it to you for free. We don't charge for those, or you can get the sermons online. But in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 15, it says, now beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And I shared all of those things with you. And just a reminder, when it says they will come into you, it is this, they're going to come into a gathering. They're going to come into a church. They're going to come into a Bible study. I mean, in other words, he's just this warning. You know, if you're gathered with other people and you want to hear the truth of the Word of God, he says, what may happen is that wolves in sheep's clothing may come in. And then he says this. He says in verse 16, he says, but you will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs? Yeah, from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. And I'm going to go ahead and read the whole thing. 17, 18, 19, and 20. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. And I shared with you the last couple of weeks, and as a reminder, you and this passage of Scripture can look at the life of some other person and you can make a judgment by what fruit you see coming from their life. And this is different than the up at the front. Remember up at the top, Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 1 down to verse 6, Jesus talks about judge not lest you be judged. And that's concerning hypocrisy. That is concerning a sense of spiritual superiority over someone else. That is hypocrisy, and Jesus says no. You know, if you look at somebody else's life and you're looking kind of down on them, thinking that, well, you know, I'm closer to God than they are, I'm more spiritual than they are, whatever their issues are, he said that person's got problems, all right? They're a hypocrite. So this is different. So in verse 16, he says, you will know them by their fruit. And there's three things I want you to see about the word know here. The first one, it is this. It means to become thoroughly acquainted with. To know accurately. As you see this, it means the ability to look at the character and the conduct of a person. One of the things that you and I know is that when you are with somebody on a regular basis, you get to know who they are. And what Jesus is saying here, he says, if you're around a prophet, if you're around a pastor, if you're around a teacher, if you're around a leader, one of the things that you're going to do is you're going to observe their conduct. You're going to watch how they live, how they act, how they talk, how they think. You're going to become acquainted with them. And with that information, we'll see it here in a few moments, but with that information, you are able to make a judgment on whether that person is a false prophet or not a false prophet, false teacher or not a false teacher. Is what's coming out of them good, or is it coming out of them, is it evil? And he says, what you'll do is you'll get acquainted with them. And all of us have lived life long enough, whether it's in the church or maybe it's even somebody at work. You know, maybe you've worked at the same place for the last 20 years, and you know by now with 20 years, you know who you can talk to and you know who to stay away from. You know the ones that'll get mad at you and the ones that don't get mad at you. I mean, why? Because you've become acquainted with them. And he's saying, look, you need to do the same thing for your own spiritual well-being. You know, you become acquainted with someone and get to know them and figure out whether or not they are real or not. He goes on here, the second part of this. The word know here comes on your part. So let me read this to you. He says, to know well divine things. I'm going to pause there. This is your part. This is your responsibility to know well divine things. That is why I tell you, please read the Bible for yourself. Please get into the Word of God for yourself. Because the second meaning of this then is to know well divine things, notice, and their contrast is the last part of that meaning. In other words, you know the Bible well enough to know the contrast to divine things. And if you're looking at someone who is claiming to be a prophet or minister or person of God, and you say, wait a minute, now the Bible says if a person of God acts this way, then they're of God, but if they tell me this and they act like this, then they're not of God. It's this, again, this idea of knowing God's word and the ability then to distinguish whether or not it is true or it is not true. The third thing it means is this, is to recognize a thing or a person for what they really are. To recognize a thing or a person for what they really are. To perceive. In other words, you've lived life long enough. You know people that are real and people that are not. You know people that are phonies and are people that are not. You know people that are out for themselves and people that are not. So the whole idea, Jesus is saying, as you get acquainted with them, you're going to be able to find out exactly who they are, where they're coming from, and what their life is like. And you know what? All of us have had that experience, and that is true. And so he says, now what I want you to do then is once you gather up this knowledge, I want you to look at their fruits. He says, you're going to know them by their fruits. Now there's a couple, two or three things here that I want you to see. The word fruit here is this. It means used of men's deeds as revealed in their hearts. Used of men's deeds as revealed in their hearts. So that could be a good pastor or a bad pastor, a good evangelist, a bad evangelist, a good teacher, a bad teacher. I mean, whatever it is. But the core here is that you're going to watch their life and you're going to see what comes out of that. And what's coming out of them is what is actually in their hearts. I remember one time sitting in a board meeting. It wasn't a church board meeting. It was I was on the regional board when I was out in, we were out on the east, out in the eastern region, and I remember going to a board meeting and sitting down there, and guys were talking. We had a couple of the guys that, honestly, their ministries were just a little sketchy. You know, they were trying to buy themselves airplanes because, you know, they were the prophet, they were the apostle, and they needed to be treated better. And I remember we were at a really nice hotel, and the guy was sending all of his food bills and his laundry bills and everything down to the region. And I remember in the board meeting, the guy that was in charge, the regional director, asked him, he said, what are you doing? You know, why am I getting all these bills for your room? He says, because I'm the prophet and I have it coming. And then we started talking about, you know, those things. And then he made a comment too, because we kind of got away from that, and we were talking about how, you know, he was raising money to buy himself an airplane. And we just kind of said, why do you need your own personal airplane? You know, why do you expect the people to pay for it? You know, they just need to pay their tithes, you know? And his comment was, one, again, that he was special and that he needed the special treatment, all right? And then he made a statement, and he says, you guys don't take enough offerings. He said, do you know how much money walks out of your church every Sunday morning? You need to take two and three offerings, and you need to get that money. And I just sat there in shock. And honestly, he was telling that's exactly what he thought. That was how he felt. And of course, we tried to reason with him biblically, but I mean, it just fell on deaf ears. And then it wasn't long after that meeting, he sent in a letter saying, well, obviously, you know, what you guys think and what I think is different. And I don't want to be on the board no more. And I don't want to be an open Bible no more. They're out there. I mean, I've witnessed them. I've seen them. I've sat across from them, and they are there. But what was really in his heart was being revealed. The second meaning here to fruit is this, is that which originates or is the result of work, act, and deeds. So here's the thing. We apply ourselves what is according to our heart. If a person has an evil heart, if a person is a false prophet, then their work, their acts, and their deeds are going to what? Be applied in that same manner. They're going to be deceitful. They're going to be liars. They're going to be connivers. They're going to try to figure a way, you know, take 10 offerings to try to get as much money out of you can before people can leave. I mean, you know, that's what they were doing. And or if you're trying to build people up, if you're trying to build a ministry and you're doing something for the kingdom of God, that'll also be in your heart too. That'll be your fruit. So that is the second meaning of the word fruit. The third meaning for the word fruit means this. It is a fruit that reveals the root of what is inside. Fruit reveals the root of what is really inside of our hearts. You see, that's just the way it is. You know, if a person is a false prophet, an evil prophet, a fake, a phony, that is the root of who they are. It will come forth because that will be the fruit that is shown. You know, and the same thing, if a person has the right heart and they're believing God for things and they want God, you know, they're innocent about what they're doing, they want God to do something with them, that is awesome. But that will also come through on the heart. So the idea here is the root is the inside of the person. And what is inside then eventually will come out. And then the next part of that verse in 16, it talks about the thorn bush and the fig. There was a bush there, and of course, and a fig as well. There was a plant that had this appearance on the outside that you could eat it. It was a bush that you would look at it, and you think that you could go pluck the grapes off it, but when you got up under closer inspection, it wasn't what you thought. And that's the same thing here. You know, they might say all the right things, they might do all the right things, but there's something there that just doesn't set right. And then after you get a little bit closer and final inspection, you look at it and you realize, no, this isn't what was presented to me. This isn't what is true. This isn't what is right. So it may look good on the outside and say all the right things, but when you examine it and you look, it's not what it is. Now, I'm going to read 17 and 18 again, just real quick here, because, and it won't take very long here. I'm going to add a couple of other things to this too. So he says, so even so, every good tree bears good fruit. Look at it. If the Holy Spirit's got a hold of you and he's redeemed you, he's changed your life, you know what's going to come out of you? Good fruit. Now, you might not have a good attitude every day, or something might upset you, or you know what I'm saying? I mean, you're still a human, but this is a long-term kind of a thing. You know, this is what fruit have you been producing as a Christian? And he says, so every tree, you know, if it's got good fruit, and if it's a good tree, it's going to have good fruit. If it's a bad tree, it's going to bear bad fruit. And then he goes on here in verse 18, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Listen, if you're following the Lord, and your heart and your mind and your actions and your deeds are all in line with the word of God, he says, what are you going to do? You're going to make good fruit. The idea of good fruit is distinguishing the qualities of something that is good or a good person, because it's going to come through their deeds. It's going to come through their actions. It's going to come through all the things that they do. The idea that they have good fruit and they're going to try to reproduce good fruit. You know, touching the lives of the people around you in a positive way for the kingdom of God. That's good fruit. But he says there are also those that have evil fruit or bad fruit. And the bad fruit here was just like six words here, and it completely dealt with ethics. This is an ethical sense of evil conduct or deeds is what it means. And I've seen them. I told you, I've sat across board meetings with them. I've watched what they do. So I know they're out there. And he says, it's just evil deeds. And then 19 says what? Well, what will happen to them? What is going to happen is this. All right? He says, they are going to be cut down and cast into or thrown into the flames or the fire. Now, the word cut down here also means to be cut off. Somewhere along the line, it'll end. Either on this earth, someone will confront them and it'll all come down to the end. And I shared with you this story of the guy that we knew, and you know, he was removed from the organization that he was in and from the church there, but it took a while before he got caught. But he got caught doing the things that he was doing. I shared that with you a couple of times as well. But the other part of this just isn't that. It also means to be thrown with force, cast down, thrown down into the fire. The term fire here was completely simple. Punishment of the wicked. Because, see, they're not obeying God. They're leading people astray. There is a punishment for that. And it always boggles my mind when I see pastors, because they must miss the part where Paul says, do you not know that if you are going to be one the preaching of the word of God, that you are going to be held to a higher accountability for what you do and what you preach than other people are going to be? And it's like they don't have any fear of that. And you need to be more afraid of God than you need to be of people. At least I am. You know, it's, you know, the books aren't going to be open and I'm going to answer to Dawn or to you, or I'm going to answer to God. You're going to answer to God. You know, you're not going to open up the books and answer to Burles. You're going to answer. We're going to answer to God. And so, and they don't do that. But I want to take this, and we've used this verse a couple of times, but I want you to mark in your Bible so you can see where they're at, because sometimes we'll say, oh, you know, where are those verses are at? So I want you to keep reading now in 21 through 22. He continues the scenario. Look at what Jesus says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. You see what Jesus is telling them? What he's telling us? He says, just because somebody says they're of God, just because somebody says they're the Lord's, just because somebody tells you they're a pastor, a prophet, an evangelist, an apostle, or whatever name they call themselves, Jesus says, so what? They can call themselves anything they want to. They can pick any title out of the Bible they want to pick, but that does not mean that they belong to him or that they are people of integrity. Now notice the next verse, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not, now I want you to catch this, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? In your name and done many wonders in your name. Look at that. There's three things that these guys, they're standing before Jesus on judgment day and they're looking at him going, well, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal people in your name? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do all, look, we performed wonders and signs and we did all of this stuff in your name. Did we not do those things? Ladies and gentlemen, it's not about signs and wonders. It's about lives being changed in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. If you go back and read the last chapter of the Gospel of Mark, it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. It does not say them that believe are going to be following after these signs. And the problem in the church is we got too many Christians that need to grow up a little bit and quit thinking that signs and wonders are all it's all about. Because that's not the gospel. I mean, I've prayed with people and God has healed them. And then I pray for Don Russell and he gets worse. But that's beside the point, okay? And it is a true fact. Colleen will tell you. You see, he says, don't get caught up in signs and wonders and power and all these goosebumpy kind of things. Get grounded. Get solid. Get a reality check, because life will give you a reality check and bring you back around somewhere where you need to get founded and grounded in the Word of God and not off worrying about all this other stuff. I'm going to tell you what, God is a God of miracles. God can heal, he can restore, he can cure, I believe he can still raise the dead still. I know that. It's not a lack of faith. I know that I've seen God do many things in my time of being a Christian. But I also know that I can't chase after signs. I need something deeper in me than just seeing signs and wonders. And look at what he's saying here. These guys said, man, we had all the power gifts going on. We were doing all of these things and all this stuff was happening. And the thing is, verse 22, three things about 22, and I got one last thing and I'll let you go. Three things I want to point out to you about that verse. Number one, these people were in the body of Christ. You see what's going on in 22? These people were in church, or they were at evangelistic meetings or tent meetings or whatever you want to call it. These people are in the body of Christ. You know why? And they're not out in the world. The world don't care about casting out demons. The world don't care. There's none of this stuff that's listed here does the world care about. Maybe false the prophecies because they like to go to fortune tellers and stuff. But these people are in church or in meetings somewhere. The second thing I want you to see about verse 22 is this. The use of wonders and signs and miracles is not proof of righteousness. These guys are going to tell, Jesus is going to say, I don't know who you are. So evidently that didn't make them saved. The third thing I want you to see is this. How did these guys actually then do these things? So you might, this thought may cross your mind. Say, okay, pastor, and I know Jesus is saying this, but how could a demon come out if these people didn't know Jesus? How could these people have been healed if they didn't know? How could they be doing signs and wonders if they didn't know Jesus? Well, let me give you two quick examples. You can jot them down, and I'm going to remind you, and you've heard it before. Jot one down, Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through 16. And if you recall, the seven sons of Sceva. Okay, you go back and look at that. They are itinerant Jews going around casting demons out of people. Okay, picture this. These guys do not know Christ. They go and they find themselves a man that is demon-possessed. They go get the guy into the room. And they said, in the name of this Jesus Christ that Paul teaches, come out of him. Now, they have no power. You could tell they have no relationship with the Lord. The way it's phrased, it's this God, it's this Jesus that Paul's preaching about. So they have no idea what it is, okay? So the demon looks at them. The guy that's demon-possessed says, okay, number one, I know Jesus. Number two, I do know Paul. Number three, I do not know you. And then the Bible says he leapt on them, beat the snot out of them, ripped their clothes off them, and it says they fled from the house naked and bruised. You know, you see, do you not understand? I don't have any power in my own strength. I am like you. We are nothing but earthen vessels being used by God, not us using God. And so they threw out the name of Jesus, and you know what? They got a response. How about one more I'll give you? The next one I'll give you is this. It is also found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. At that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everything in heaven, everything on earth, everything under the earth will bow. It's power in the name of Jesus, not in the person. And people forget that. But Jesus tells these guys, well, look at what he says. Verse 23, Sam, we'll close it up. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. It means I'm not acquainted with you. Your name's not in my book of life. I don't know who you are. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Amplified reads this, depart from me means go away from me. It means depart from me, you who act wickedly and disregard my commands. It is about an obedience to Christ. Weigh out what you hear, weigh out what you let in your heart, weigh out what you let in your mind. If something does not feel right, sense right, a man, a woman, a Bible study, whatever, and you go somewhere and you go, okay, this does not set well with my spirit. Don't get caught up in all the spiritual stuff. Let the Spirit of God speak to you. Because Colossians says that he is the umpire of our soul. And he'll speak to you. And it is for our own safety and protection that he does those things. All right. All right, that's good. Would you please stand?